Okay, so welcome to the second task that we're going to talk about in the MCC coaching model, and that is the task of self-management. Now, most of you will be familiar with the term self-management, but we want to be clear about what we're talking about here in the coaching approach. And we are talking specifically about generating self-awareness as coaches about what of ourselves enters into the coaching relationship, what its impact is, and how we manage it and what we do with it. Now, there are some key intentions behind self-management from our coaching approach, and I'm going to go through those now and we're going to just dig into them a little bit. So, first of all, the coach's role is non-directive. What that means is that we do not tell our clients what to do. We do not give them advice. We do not give them advice in the form of packaged feedback, which is really advice. We do not direct our clients to move in any particular direction. Why is that? Well, that typically in our field of recovery to wellness coaching, and particularly this client group, they are usually people who have already met a lot of directive people. They would have possibly even sought out a lot of directive people. A lot of people will have given them advice and told them what to do. What we are seeking to create, as I mentioned in the previous section around collaboration, is an environment in which they can become fully present, where they can explore their own inner, if you like, directiveness. The voices in them that they need to explore and select and choose as for themselves about how they move forward in their lives. So our role is not to be directive. Coupled with that is it's also non-coercive. Now this is a really important point as well, because coercing people can look very much like non-coercion. We are very easily fooled into thinking that something that is given as a well-intentioned piece of advice or guidance and so on is actually really a coercion. And by coercion, I mean we are trying to get somebody to do something that they haven't chosen, selected to do, and to move towards something that they haven't actually stated they want to move towards. And what we are doing is running our own agenda. We're running our own purpose, because we think that that is where they should go. Where our clients should move towards, how they should move forward, what resources they have to move forward, and all these kinds of things is their decision. It arises out of their volition, and that arises out of their connection to meaning, the sense of purpose they have for their life, what they really want, and so on. Now, when people are in crisis, of course, they are particularly prone to being coerced and being directed. And so it is important that we are very clear that we wish to and intend to and will refrain from stepping into and taking that directive and non-directive and non-coercive role. We want to be very clear that this does not mean that we are not ourselves as coaches very present, a strong energy in the space, that we are creating a vibrant, powerful relationship. Absolutely, all of that is there. It's just that within all of that, we are self-managing ourselves to take away the directiveness that wants to come from us and the coerciveness that wants to come from us. The next item on this list is priming. In the next section in this course, we're going to look at implicit and explicit priming, and we're going to take a deeper look at how it affects and how we want to think about it within the context of coaching. Again, we are all primed, so we need under self-management, what is my priming, how am I primed, how conscious or unconscious am I of it, and how is it impacting in how I show up around my work with my clients? Language use is the next one. Language use, again, is attached to priming, But how we use words with our clients, what language we do use, the phrases we select, their phrases, how we use their words, do we use them or do we reframe them without getting permission? How are we using language? Very important to understand that how we use language has an impact. It has a really powerful effect on the coaching relationship. So people will use language forms and language recognition to create bonds. They will use it to identify with other people. You know, he sounds like me, talks like me, I feel comfortable. On the other hand, when we hear people who don't talk like us, and so on, we tend to have a different experience of being with them because we feel that we can't instantly be as, you know, as close to them. So this is all part of being being in a relationship with other people, and language is the currency or one of the aspects of this way that we are in relationships. So we want to be aware under self-management of ourselves as coaches. We are tasked with becoming aware of our language and how we use it. The next one is transparency. Transparency is about the reality that you as a coach or me as a coach, coaches are human beings. And so we do not create in our coaching model a professional edifice, if you like, a facade through which we try to obscure our clients' sight of us. I believe human beings are very smart, they're very clever, they're very perceptive. People can see things happening in us in the same way that we can see things happening in other people, our intuitive sense of them. In this task of self-management, we actually are transparent in the sense that we do not seek as a primary position to obscure or hide aspects of ourselves personally from our clients. It is not that kind of relationship. However, transparency must be used within the context of this self-management, because being fully transparent without the muscle set of self-management can, of course, get us into and our coaching relationship into a lot of chaos. So we need to know how to be transparent within the context of self-management. Self-management also applies to the next item on the list, which is ethics, which is about ethical behavior. We need to manage ourselves around ethics, so we need to know what ethical behavior and our ethical boundaries are, and we need to be able to manage that appropriately. We need to manage the coach's inner responses. This is put here specifically in addition to priming and transparency, because we want to be aware that we are capable of formulating responses from inside of ourselves that we can justify to ourselves, if you like, as in service of our client's agenda, but in fact are often not necessarily in service of them, but are actually a response to something else. We want to be aware of what our inner responses are. And that leads on actually to triggering, because triggering is where we are triggered through our interaction with our clients into wanting to make some kind of response that is arising out of something that has been, if you like, evoked or disturbed or touched or brought up inside of us. So this is an important part of self-management. And then finally we've got here compassion. And we have a little definition here, because there's often the case that people are not some differences of opinion about what compassion means, but sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. Yes, we do have a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress and a desire to alleviate it. So it's important for us to be able to self-manage this desire to alleviate it. Our role isn't, it doesn't say above, you know, underneath the coach moniker, here is a coach, they will relieve you of your distress. That is not a definition of our role. To be sympathetically conscious of others' distress, absolutely. That's a prerequisite for being a compassionate human being and to being holding our client in the place of compassion. Very important. It's the desire to alleviate it that needs to be thought about in terms of how we manage ourselves. So this is the second task of self-management, containing these component parts. And thank you for listening.